Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Informal Courses for Adults.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Where do you do your best thinking? At the gym, in the shower, on the drive to work? Why is it that so many of us seem to come up with our best ideas outside of work, the one place where we are actually paid to think? My guests today are convinced it doesn't have to be that way, and that with a few simple adjustments to our attitudes and our work environment, and lots of practice, all of us can tap into our inner brilliance on command. Janine McGlade and Andrew Peck are co-creators of the business consulting firm Novus, which works with companies looking to encourage employee innovations. Their new book is called Stimulated: Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. Janine, Andrew, welcome to Think.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
So you compare the experience of creative thinking to falling in love. Can you talk about the similarities?
Yeah, I mean, when you've been in love, you can't think but anything about that individual whom you've fallen in love with or attracted to. Well, ideas come in the same fashion. You just get so enamored with them. They seemingly come random, like you get love struck with this idea and really fall in love with that. It's that tingly sensation that you just want to think about the whole time and kind of work through, and all of a sudden you realize your creative juices start flowing. It's really, really awesome.
So at the risk of taking the metaphor too far, sometimes you fall in love and a month or two later you think that was the worst idea ever. how do we evaluate when we get a great idea that sounds perfect, whether it's something worth hanging on to?
Well, that's a great question, because not all great loves or great ideas are worth hanging on to. And we talk about a habit called venturing, and sometimes we have to make that leap. A lot of times, though, we don't make that leap out of fear, and we kind of hold ourselves back. But, you know, it comes back to, what are our goals? What do we really want to do with our lives? Or what are the things we're trying to work on at work? And from there, those spark ideas, spark moments that come up with good ideas will be the thing that you'll know that, you know what, this is the thing that I should go with or not, based on those goals.
One of the things that you write that we really need to get over is this idea that creativity is for artistic people, that's what it's tied to. What changes can we make to sort of remove that qualifier from our definition?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, it is a common misconception that the only way to be creative is to be a Picasso, have this wonderful masterpiece. Everyone, we believe, has a creative ability. Everyone is kind of born to create. I mean, when you think of the word creation, it means grow. So if we're interested in growing, then we need to create. So no matter whether you are a stay-at-home mom or you're the CEO or you're a window washer, everyone's looking ways to express themselves in a creative fashion. So what we do is encourage people to kind of find their muse. What is it that really excites them? And then learn ways to act upon them in a creative way.
Well, and it strikes me as how much our culture really doesn't do this. Because when we're kids, people tell us all the time, wherever we go, you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want to be. And then the second you get out of school, it's all sort of determined. And nobody thinks you can be whatever you want to be. They think you can be what's in this little box.
That's so true. And that's what I was going to also add on it. Just what you said, kids are, they know they're creative. They are. They're told they're creative. They think they're creative. And then somehow it gets beaten out of us at some point, which is really sad. But we have to remember that we are all creative in some way. I may not be able to draw a Picasso painting, but there's other ways that I can contribute. And we just have to figure out, what are those ways? What brings me joy and passion? And then contribute in that way, and you will be creative.
What is a stimulus gap?
A stimulus gap is being just stuck, where you're going through sort of unconscious routines, you know, the way that you get up in the morning, where you get your clothes, what clothes you wear, brushing your teeth. You know, routines are important, obviously, to keep us structured and focused. But at some point or another, they may get stale. And as a result, we're not really feeling refreshed. We're not coming up with new ideas. And we start to get bored or even start to check out. So that's kind of the first sign, what we would call is a stimulus gap. They're not just being stimulated anymore in a way that invigorates them and they're producing good ideas.
So many people find comfort in those routines. How much of that ought we to change at a time so that we don't just completely throw ourselves out of whack?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, we don't want to go crazy and then just not do anything. I mean, I think it's a matter of course, and like Andrew said, routines are good, you know, and our brain has a great way of categorizing things and knowing that, you know, you don't want to have to think every minute about what we're doing when we drive our car to work, for example. You just kind of get there, sometimes scarily so. You just end up like, how did I get there? Right?
Yeah,
where was
I? Exactly.
I don't even remember. But certainly, you know, change one thing. Start with one thing. Maybe it's taking a new route to work, you know, to say, okay, maybe there's something different that I can see if I go a different way, or taking a different mode of transportation, or picking up a magazine. magazine you would never normally read. And the reason we do that is because that will provide us with different stimulus, which keeps us kind of almost on our toes and giving us some freshness that'll help us come up with new ideas.
How is curiosity linked to creativity?
Well, just like Janine said, a child is a perfect example of being curious, where you're really looking at things with what we call eyes wide open, you know, as if you saw it for the very first time. You're really trying to seek to understand how does something work, or new experience, what is that all about? You're really asking lots of questions, and you have that real investigative mindset. That's what curiosity is all about, and so essential to the creative process.
Well, and I think you have a lot of interesting things in the book about figuring out how to realize what we are seeing over and over, because sometimes things are so familiar that we stop even questioning how they are. And you talk about the difference between making assumptions about things and mm-hmm. why they exist and mm-hmm. just observing them. Can you talk about what the difference is between those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, it's, again, like we said before, it's important that when we're driving to work that we don't have to think about what does that red light mean? We automatically know we need to stop. We're not every single time we see a red light having to say, well, what do we do? So that's the good news about our brain. But that same exact thing that helps us to be able to know what to do at a red light can also keep us stuck in assuming that we know everything. And in fact, that we just get that perpetuated at work a lot of times because we're paid for our ideas. We're paid for, you know, knowing how to solve problems and for our smarts, you know. So not asking those questions and not being curious and also, you know, not really taking the time to have your eyes wide open and absorbing and observing experiences can actually be very detrimental when you want to come up with creative ideas. So very important to look at things with your eyes wide open, which basically means to not assume you know what it is or why it is, but just note that it is. And we even encourage people to do journaling. You know, just journal. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you read? And don't worry about interpreting what it means yet, because later, you know, maybe a week or two later, you kind of look at all that data and say, okay, I'm starting to see patterns here. Now what might that mean? So there's a time and a place to certainly make those assumptions, but we do it so often so soon that it can actually hurt us.
Hmm. So you look for some patterns, and then later on you say, well, I wonder why that is.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And just not to do that too soon. You know, we want to be in more, we call it a diverging mode, and kind of coming up with ideas and looking at data before we start to try to figure out what it means.
Right, and that's what Jane Goodall and Dian Fossey were so legendary for, is just observing chimpanzees or apes. And now we don't necessarily say that you have to be there doing that for years on end in order to generate new insights, but just getting in the habit of what we call observing and sort of absorbing, letting yourself sort of be swept away by the moment in order to really fully grasp what is it that you are seeing. And as a result of that, that just starts to stimulate your mind and allows you to wander and start to really get imaginative in your thinking.
Andrew Peck and Janine McGlade are my guests. They're co-creators of Novus. It's a consulting firm. And their new book is called Stimulated, Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. You have a quote in the book that I'll paraphrase because I didn't write it down properly, but aha moments happen out of context.
Yes, I think that was Channing Dawson talking about he was in Costa Rica. I could be in the middle of the ocean and not having anything to do with, you know, the problem I was working on. And then all of a sudden, snap, there it is. And yes, a lot of times we do find that. In fact, sometimes when we travel, we find that we have some great creative ideas. So part of what we wanted to try to do in our book is to say, well, how do we make those ideas less random? How do we allow ourselves and help others to really come up with ideas more systematically, if you will? But we need to put ourselves in different places and spaces. We need to put ourselves into a more observing mindset in order to be able to do that.
What that seems to require, though, is getting mentally into a different space. And so many people, no matter where they are, they're thinking so hard about work that they end up sort of blocked up about what to do next.
Well, that's right, and that's you don't want to force it. And we talked earlier about spark moments is like falling in love. When you start to relax and put yourself into being sort of available, like you would falling in love, it's just amazing what starts to occur. You know, what may seem seemingly random is really, really just your availability and being conscious of the possibilities, and then new ideas start to come your way as a result of that. So it's really cool.
Now, people are going to say, okay, this all sounds great, but I have to work every minute that I'm at work, mm-hmm. and my boss doesn't allow for daydreaming and doesn't want me on a ship in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
I have to be there sort of, you know, making widgets.
Right, exactly. And we do hear that a lot from our clients. I mean, a lot of times when we start talking about these things, you know, there'll be people saying, yeah, okay, right, and what am I going to do with my day job? You know, and we all have responsibilities and we all need to do our day jobs, but that's exactly when we're feeling like we can't do this is exactly the time, maybe counter counterintuitively that we must do this, because that means that we're probably in a rut, we're probably stressed out, we're probably overwhelmed with what we have to do. And so it doesn't have to take much time. And I think that's what we want to be clear here on. It could be just a matter of, you know what, we all probably eat lunch. I hope people get a chance to eat lunch, you know, even if it's 10 minutes and you're wolfing down a sandwich. But that 10 minutes, how about being very conscious about where you eat that lunch? Go outside of your office. Maybe on a beautiful day, go into the field in front of your office, assuming there is one, or go for a little walk. Even 10 minutes can do such wonders for your imagination and for your mind that it can help you then when you do get back. So I think that's a good excuse almost, you know, not to, because we all feel that way, but we got to make the time if we truly want to get unstuck.
Yeah, you guys write about eating, exercise, and even napping briefly at the office can sort of change everything once you're back in where you need to be.
Absolutely.
Well, sure, there's a lot of research that suggests that when you're able to sort of tap into that alpha state, that subconscious is when you're going to have some of your best ideas. Either when you wake up in the morning, oftentimes is when you're usually refreshed and could be a real supple opportunity to start to write things down of your subconscious that you had been dreaming about the night before. And there's some really good ideas. Well, how do you recreate that in the everyday workplace? Maybe it is a nap, or maybe it's just closing your eyes, shutting down the lights, listening to some quiet music, and meditating for a little while to tap into that same kind of dimension in order for you to be creative.
And to the extent that we're allowed to manipulate our work environments, you say that's important as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And we talk a lot about cultivating, which is really looking at the spaces and places. And many of us may not be able to move our desks or move, maybe we're in cubicles. But those of us who can, it's certainly important to kind of shake that up to give a new perspective. But even if you can't, you know, how might you even just bring in, if you're stimulated by the ocean, but you don't get a chance to get there, or the lake, maybe there's a picture you can bring in, or a plant that you could bring in to kind of add some freshness and life, you know, music that you can play. So absolutely, to the extent that you can do something, it's really important to kind of keep you stimulated in your environment.
Is this something that you suggest people say, you know, present to their boss and say, look, I've discovered that I, you know, whatever, need to read this report in the sunshine and I'll figure it out? Or should you sort of do this under the wire? Or under the radar, rather.
Yeah, and I was just thinking to myself as we're talking, you know, we're going to create this epidemic of wanderers,
and now eating a snack.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, right. Yeah, and that's not necessarily what we're suggesting. Obviously, a lot of these things you can do without even having to tell anybody. It's just part of your daily routine. Make these sorts of techniques a habit. However, when you are required or you're looking to really challenge the status quo, or come up with bold, fresh new ideas, either to generate new products or new services or just in your life, then, of course, engage your leadership and talk to them about ways in which you can or you can collectively be more creative. Now, they may look at you, funny and say, get back to your day job. But it's really important, like Janine said, you know, venturing is about having the courage to try these different types of techniques.
Well, what's so interesting, too, is you hear all these studies that the average American office worker spends 2 hours a day, not exactly doing job-related tasks. And you wonder if you could carve a little of that time out. Not that anyone listening has ever wasted time at work, but, a little of that time might be well spent on these exercises.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, just the other day we heard a client who surprised the management team. They said, just wear warm clothes, and they didn't know what to expect, and they arrived in warm clothes, and the boss said, let's go out and do some boogie boarding and stuff out on the slopes, and while you're doing that, I want you to think of all the different ways you can improve the office environment. So they put forth a task, but they did it in a very playful fashion. So things like that can really energize the workforce.
Sounds great. Doesn't fly in Dallas, Texas, the boogie board.
Yeah, that's true.
Andrew Peck and Janine McGlade are here. Their new book is called Stimulated: Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults, offering summer escapes from the everyday. Short courses start in June. Curious? Details at smu.edu/think.
You're
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are Janine McGlade and Andrew Peck. Their new book is called Stimulated, Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. They're in town for a signing event at the Barnes & Noble on Beltline in Dallas tonight at 6 o'clock. You can talk to them on the phone at 1-800-933-5372 or by sending email to think@kera.org. Jim in Arlington writes, as a 50-something veteran of the workforce in many fields, I would like to ask what your guests think of the notion that creativity is greatly discouraged in many jobs.
Well, we unfortunately agree that oftentimes it is discouraged, you know, and that's why one of the reasons why we wrote the book is that we did see two types of people, those that were very stimulated, excited, and passionate about what they did, and then just the opposite. And we thought, well, what was it about those folks? And part of it was that they were encouraged, whether they encouraged themselves or were encouraged by others to be creative, and it just gave them so much spunk to their day and made their days go faster, that made them in flow and felt like they were really contributing. So unfortunately, yes, sometimes we're not encouraged to be creative. But again, going back to venturing, we must take that step ourselves if it's important to us to try to do that. And not all employers are going to maybe be as okay with that as others, but you got to start and try, and then maybe you'll find that that's not the right place for you. You know, maybe there's something better on the other side somewhere.
And there's one thing you say, it's important to actually, once you have an idea and you're committed to it, to find other people to get on board. And that's something I would have thought most people have a good idea and they think, I'm going to keep this to myself until it's all complete. But you don't want to do that.
No, absolutely. Get connected with other people who can not only bring energy to the creative process, but other ideas, embellish it. There's very few ideas that have been the result of the lone genius, you know, working in the corner, coming up with these brilliant ideas. When the more people you enroll, the more likelihood that you'll be successful.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak to Gabrielle in Arlington. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I work in a photography company and do mass color correction, so it's kind of a monotonous job. And whenever we get kind of lower in production, as it seems a punishment, our employers will take away 15-minute breaks, which is pretty counterproductive. And so I'm wondering if there's a good way to kind of get everyone together and present this to our employers that it kind of lowers everyone's morale without causing more problems, I guess.
That's a great question.
Yeah, so I have a question back to you. In that 15 minutes, could you present some ideas? Would they be receptive to getting you and others involved to do some maybe brainstorming?
Sure. We do have some, you know, we do get together for meetings biweekly, and I think that we could probably get together an idea for, you know, there's a basketball court around to kind of maybe make some tournaments or something like that, take walks,
Yeah, I mean, because idle time, as you know, is not necessarily not creative time, so if there's a way to convince your leadership that maybe we take that time to either do some recreation like you suggest, which we would advocate. You know, anytime you're in kind of playful state, you're going to be much more relaxed and spontaneous things start to occur. So if you can convince them that that even that alone will help.
And I think positioning it in such a way that they will hear that there's a benefit to the organization and the organization's bottom line. So while you know that it'll be a benefit to you personally, how you translate to what they want to hear is going to be really important in terms of communicating that.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. The email address is think@kera.org. What can organizations do? I'm thinking about, like, do there need to be public spaces? Do there need to be foosball tables? Is that all too artificial? What do you need to have to get people in a creative frame of mind?
Well, certainly you need a little bit of everything, we think. I mean, the environment, for sure. There should be a space where people can go and feel okay to sit and think, or feel okay that when they're playing with the Play-Doh that they're actually coming up with great ideas. You know, we need that space because you need that the permission, if you will. Many times, though, we've heard, well, you don't want to go to that space because, you know, they'll be, you know, think I'm not getting anything done, which, of course, is it needs to be encouraged. And obviously the leadership in the organization needs to do that, but absolutely encourage spaces, public spaces, in your own private spaces. All of those need to be in a place where you can, you know, feel like you can be creative and have those moments.
Yeah, and I would add that variation is really key. I mean, you might have foosball tables and those sorts of things, which are really a lot of fun, but after a while, those could also become stale. So looking for lots of different approaches to keeping people stimulated, like Janine was saying earlier, maybe it's just we take a walk outside of the building, you know, put on some fun sneakers and, you know, take a little bit of a march, you know, around the building just to get refreshed. So looking for ways to do it in different ways is so essential.
I'm thinking even of things like Casual Dress Friday, which, you know, a decade ago was this cool, innovative thing, and it was so much fun. Now it's so accepted and so expected that it maybe doesn't deliver what it used to.
Absolutely, and I think that goes toward the variation. So you're absolutely right, and certainly we wouldn't want that taken away now because we've gotten used to it.
Everybody put on a tie.
Right, exactly. Right. But, you know, there might be something else that can be done, you know, a theme day, or it could be just something that, that helps people feel comfortable and it shakes up the routine a little bit.
Right, and we used to poke a lot of fun at neckties, for example, that they cause low levels of rationality because they're cutting off the oxygen supply into your brain. It's less about the necktie. It's more about the attitude behind it. You know, people do get kind of serious when they dress up because they think work is all serious, and not that it isn't, and we're there to do a job and trying to grow or produce something. But why can't we have more fun? You can learn, they say, more about a person in an hour of play than in a year of conversation. So play and being more relaxed is just going to help people produce and be more creative.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. My guests are Andrew Peck and Janine McGlade. Their new book is called Stimulated: Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. Let's go next to Robin in Dallas. Hi, Robin.
Hi, what kind of statistics are there that you could maybe use to show to your management that, you know, that time is well spent? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for your call.
90% of the people are kind of disengaged, which is a sad statistic. But when people are engaged, productivity is tenfold. I mean, the quantum changes that you can produce when people are really stimulated and involved yields much better results. I mean, the teams and the individuals that we've been privileged to work with over the years have always demonstrated that when you get people stimulated and creative and involved in that creative process, they're going to produce more, they're going to be much more effective, and more likely to be committed and retained by that organization.
Any ideas on how, when we're hiring someone, we can know how creative they might be? You know, everyone's on their best behavior. They are typically wearing a tie or a suit. And, you know, it might be hard to tell how someone's going to behave in the workplace.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a great place to start, because if that's something that's important to you as a manager, that's how you should be hiring for your employees. And maybe it's how you ask certain questions. You know, tell me about a time when you were most creative. What did you do? How did you feel? You know, so it's about the questions we ask as managers and leaders if we're trying to hire somebody that will help to get us the real answers. You know, a lot of times we interview and we just kind of interview for like, you know, what are the standard? Well, what's your greatest weakness? And everybody's got, well, I'm a perfectionist.
I'm a
workaholic.
Yeah.
I'm a workaholic. Right. We say the same things because that's okay. But, you know, we got to ask more situational questions that gets people to say, oh, how did I handle that? So if it's about creativity you want to work on, then how do you, you know, make your questions relevant to that?
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak next to Jennifer in Dallas. Hi, Jennifer.
Yes, hi. I was wondering whether the authors had explored possibilities of having artists in residence in offices, or even artists coming in to do short workshops with office workers.
Interesting idea.
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, we work a lot with artists in our workshops. We'll bring in designers that know how to sketch and do that kind of thing. And so, yeah, we've done that ourselves, and we've worked with others in the industry that think that's real important, because you can see so much. You know, it's prototyping ideas, having somebody be able to sketch it out or mold it out, and somebody that's really good at it and really fast at it can really present ideas so much better than trying to explain them. So we do a lot of that with our clients.
That's right. And in addition to that, we bring in entertainers. We bring in other kinds of professionals that are maybe different than the industry that we're working with. So, for example, we might be working with a pharmaceutical company, but we might bring in academicians, you know, in the agricultural world, just to get people thinking in different ways so that it stimulates them for new perspectives.
I'm wondering if it's more challenging for people who work in sort of a creative field but are not creative. If you work in an ad agency, sure, there are the creative team people, but there are also accountants and HR people who are sort of not expected. Nobody looks at them and says, how creative are you going to be today?
Sure, and certainly that could be the case, whether it's true or just perceived. It almost really doesn't matter, right. Does it? You know, but because people do say, well, those are the creative people over there, and I don't really have to be creative. But there's always a way to make your job more stimulating, you know, and to get more information. I mean, even in accounting, I mean, we work with legal teams as well. And again, another profession where you might not say, you know, it's the law, it's black, it's white. But there are ways of certainly, you know, being creative within the structure that you already have. And it's just a matter of taking the time to think of how to do that. A lot of times we just don't allow ourselves the time.
Is there a way, if you're not in a supervisory role, to get at least your peers thinking in more creative ways?
Oh, sure. I mean, we talked earlier about getting connected with other people. Why not do a brown bag lunch? It's a perfect opportunity. We see more and more of that sort of thing taking place. Getting together and just comparing. We're doing some book clubs with some organizations where not only our book, but other people's books. And just to get conversation, when you start to create that sort of groundswell of activity, you don't need permission from your boss, so to speak, in order for you to be creative and stimulating, like Janine was suggesting.
Is there a way to avoid, you know, there's always that employee who sort of spoils everything by saying, I don't want to be friends with people at work, and this is just ridiculous. Mm. You know, there's that one person, no matter how hard you're trying, who is just not going to get into whatever efforts there are. You guys must see those in your seminars occasionally.
We call them the dementors.
They suck the life and the joy out of everything.
It's true.
What do you do about those folks?
Well, yeah, it's tough because they can really take the energy away from the creative process. Part of it is to, it's a little bit like taming the shrew, get them involved, maybe get them to volunteer or be voluntold, you know, to offer their ideas. Once they get engaged, then it's amazing the results, and it really influences the tempo and the complexion of the other people who are involved in.
Voluntold is a creative word that I'm going to add to my own personal lexicon. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. The email address is think@kera.org. We're talking about the book Stimulated, Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. And the authors will be at a meet and greet at the Barnes & Noble on Beltline in Dallas tonight at 6. Let's go next to John in Dallas. Hi, John. Hi, John. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
My question is, how do you utilize your creativity and be inspired on a daily basis when you have a manager who wants to excel in the marketplace, who comes to the office fired up every day, want to deliver? How do you deal with a situation when you have a policymaker or at least your boss who is more like a dementor, as he mentioned just a minute ago, rather than creating or facilitating the creativity for the benefit of the organization and delivering. So you have a supervisor or boss is more like a control freak. How do you manage, and the employee believes that the employee is way more qualified than the employer's rep. How do you deal with that situation when the employee does not utilize the full potential it can deliver for the organization, and the owner basically does not even recognize the delimiting possibilities of those dementors?
Well, there's no question that it can be debilitating. I mean, part of what we recommend to anybody is start small and try to understand maybe that person who you might feel is sort of sucking the life out of your creative juices. Maybe they create in different sorts of ways. So becoming conscious of how they draw inspiration. So maybe the first thing to do is just inquire with them is, what stimulates you? Maybe you don't say that, you know, what is it that you and how do you draw your inspiration? And as you start to, we haven't found a person, even if they were really stuck, hasn't at some way or another said, well, you know, I find my most creative ideas when I take a walk in the morning. Oh, okay, then why don't we take a walk together? And if you have a moment, let's think about some of the problems we're both having to tackle together. All of a sudden, you put them in the place where they need to be the most in order for you to help them to be creative, and then all of a sudden, they're more receptive.
And it's kind of like managing up, you know, and I wouldn't use those terms when you're working with your boss or talking to your boss, but just like Andrew's suggesting, it's trying to meet them where they are and go from there. And then you become the facilitator of that. And by doing that, you're opening up a door to communication, really, that didn't exist before, maybe because that person's so gung-ho and wants to get results and all of that, which is not bad necessarily. But certainly if it's, you know, sucking the energy out of everybody else and nobody else can really meet their potential, of course, it becomes an issue. So meet them where they are and go from there.
So we have the spark, this little fledgling idea that we've fallen in love with, and then it comes time to present it to other people. And then so often people come up upon the, we tried that before, it didn't work, that would never work here, we don't have enough money for that, we don't have enough employees, maybe next year. What do we do?
Yeah, the killer phrases that, again, kind of suck the energy out, and you, all you want to do then is retreat. You know, again, it takes courage to present the ideas, and maybe the way you position it that we talked about earlier is really key. Show the benefits of the idea. Try to convince people to maybe let's experiment. Let's do a test. Let's do a pilot before going full scale, full board. And usually people are pretty receptive to that, especially if you can show the value of pursuing that idea. As long as it's consistent with the mission of the organization and you can show that there is some promise, then what's the harm in testing the idea?
And I think what's important to add, too, is that you want to make sure you have others kind of engaged in that. So it's not just you presenting the idea, but there's others. And maybe how do you engage the audience that you're trying to show the benefit of? Maybe you can role play the idea. Maybe you can, like the caller said before, bring in an artist to sketch it or show it in a picture. You know, pictures do communicate so much better. So how do you show the benefit of the idea to the people who are in front of you? Because that will engage them to say, oh, all right, we get that. You know, we understand why that's a good idea.
Yeah, when we talk about the habit of harvesting, that's really what we're talking about, is making it real. When you can paint that picture and show what it looks like, then people are in a better position to kind of evaluate it, but also enroll in the process and add to it.
So you're kind of selling them on your idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are talking to Andrew Peck and Janine McGlade. Their new book is called Stimulated, Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. We'll return to our conversation in a moment. You can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or send an email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults, offering summer escapes from the everyday. Short courses start in June. Curious? Details at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We are talking today about being creative at work. The book that we're talking about is called Stimulated, Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. And the authors, Andrew Peck and Janine McGlade, are here. They'll be at the Barnes & Noble on Beltline at 6 o'clock tonight for a signing event. You can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or emailing think@kera.org. Vivian in Fort Worth writes, I'm about to start a new job with the federal government writing contracts for law enforcement agencies. What kind of attitude or action should I have with me as I enter a new position to make sure I start it off right and do not get complacent too quickly?
Well, first understand what the requirements of the job are, obviously, and also the culture of the organization. Getting a vibe and tuning into the frequency is so important as to the extent to which you can be creative or even wildly creative. I think really get first an assessment.
Yeah, and that might be, take the form of, obviously, when you go in, talking about eyes wide open before, really observe the environment. What do you see there? What are people talking about? You know, really kind of watch. You know, so a lot of the nonverbal stuff is the stuff that's going to give us a lot of clues to what's kind of appropriate, what's not appropriate, and then how you can kind of influence that eventually.
We have an email from Josh in Irving who asks, if you see any value to writing down your dreams when you wake up.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, woo!
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
The whole book came to you in a dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely, because your subconscious is where your some of your most fertile ideas are just lying dormant. And however wild sometimes the dreams are, it's really important to just write it down and not evaluate them, because later you come back to them and say, oh, wow, there's really something here that I should really explore and pursue.
Yeah, and we have a good friend who was a math major as her graduate school work, and she was getting an MBA. She's just brilliant. And she told us, she said, you know, what I used to do all the time if I was working on a very difficult math problem is that I couldn't solve, I would put it by my bedside table and I would go to bed in the morning. 99% of the time I would have the answer.
That's amazing.
Which we thought so, too. I mean, just the power of that unconscious to be able to work things out, you know, while we're sleeping is just really cool.
I wish you could balance my checkbook.
Yeah.
Put your credit card next to your bed in the morning. A fairy is
exactly.
Fix it all for you.
Yeah, right.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak to Steve in Flower Mound. Hey, Steve. Hi, Steve. Are you with us? Okay. We will. Steve, are you with us now?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay. We can hear you. Go ahead.
My question is, I manage a remote team, a statewide team in Texas, and I'm based in Flower Mound. I work for the local cable company. How do you engender creativity in a remote team where you have people that you don't see every day?
It's a good question. I think one of the things, you know, and I don't know if you have an opportunity perhaps to get together, of course, that would be one thing. But when you don't, you know, is there any kind of form of electronic, you know, communication that you can have? Is there something you can do on your intranet, a blog even, you know, and share ideas via different means? Maybe putting a challenge out to your team, a question every week that by Friday morning at 9, you'd love to see some very different, unique answers on. Conference calls, things like that, but putting out a challenge. And I think it's great that you're thinking of ways to do that. I mean, that's the first step. It's wonderful to hear that question, actually. But those are some ideas that
sure.
come to my mind.
We particularly like the challenge kind of situation, so that let's say you're working on improving your customer experience. Well, then maybe every individual on your team who are in different locations do something sort of empathetically. You know, in other words, they put themselves in the place of your customer. And they had to do it for a week. They had to actually live and breathe being the customer. And then the next week when you join them on a conference call is when you kind of compare notes. What was the experience like? Mm-hmm. What did you learn? What did that spark for you?
I worked at a place where people were scattered all over the world, and they encouraged us to use not just email but Instant Messenger.
Oh, yeah.
And although it is the potential for abuse is extraordinary, it was really good to sort of create a little culture and have creativity with people that you would probably never meet face to face.
That's a great way to do it, absolutely. And sure, you could get, you know, swept up in that, but we get swept up in our emails and phone calls sometimes too. But it's a matter of, you know, giving permission and saying kind of here are the parameters. But it's a great way to use the electronics to just, like you said, create that culture.
Bill in Dallas writes, graphic design studios often have places for their creatives to play in, but I'm worried that it tends to be this way because of the stereotype associated with graphic designers rather than because of the common human need being served. I can't recall seeing such spaces in more corporate settings. Is that something you guys encounter a lot?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just like we said earlier, there's an expectation that the creatives all get all the creative funny tools and great spaces. It's so important for all aspects of a business, whether you're in finance or you're in research and development or you're in clerical administrative, to have the right types of environment to be creative. Otherwise, you're really shortchanging the organization.
And again, it doesn't take a you know $200,000 capital budget to improve a space. You know, you can take a small conference room, pull out the wood table and the stiff chairs, throw in a few bean bags, get some Play-Doh, get some toys, get some color on the walls, flip charts, markers that smell really good. You know, those kinds of things that just create a little bit of excitement. It's different. And then giving people permission to be a little bit different and more playful in that environment.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Linda in Lawton, Oklahoma. Hi, Linda.
Yes. I just want to ask your guests if they are familiar with Jose Silva's exercises and all that. He was from Laredo, Texas, and it sounds like they are familiar with those things, and Laura Silva. And I'll take my call off the phone.
Can you tell us a little bit about him, what he did?
Oh, he taught people how to use alpha mind, alpha, to create things and do exercises to create different things or do things for themselves and or solve problems and all that.
So ways of tapping into new ideas. Okay, thanks for your call.
Sure. I mean, it's just like a fitness program. You want to exercise your brain, and there are some wonderful kinds of techniques, other literature out there to continue to stimulate your brain. We often use a thing called what we call chance connections. It's to create that out-of-context kind of experience where you introduce, let's say you're in a group, you're trying to brainstorm a new solution for your organization, but you're stuck. So what better than to introduce an object or a word in which you make some associations of that word or object and apply it back to the problem? When you start to introduce random kinds of stimulus is when you're going to have new perspectives shape the difference. And the example we use is Bill Bowerman, who was the University of Oregon track and field coach. His obsession and love for life was to come up with a tennis shoe that his athletes could use in order to improve their performance. Well, one day his wife was making waffles, and that's when he had his spark moment. He said, what if I put the tennis shoe to have a sole of the shoe with the texture that resembles a waffle to give the athlete better traction? Well, he did, and he started to experiment with that. You can imagine when he put the rubber in the waffle iron what his wife was thinking. But he experimented, perfected it, and the next day, I mean, over time, the next was history because he teamed up with some people and created Nike. So every individual, every person is one spark away from greatness. So absolutely exercise your mind to create those random stimulus events.
The other great thing, and I'm glad you brought it up again about the simile to fitness, is the idea that this is something that we have to practice, that you can't sort of wait around and then all of a sudden expect, you know, creativity to come at the moment you need it. You have to
Exactly.
do it all the time.
You sure do. It is. It's a daily discipline, really. You can't just say, well, maybe next Thursday I'll be creative and that'll be it. You know, it's a constant thing. And research shows that it takes 21 days to make a habit. So it's important to give yourself enough time because just like exercise, sometimes we give up so soon, you know, because we're not seeing the 10 pounds didn't come off in one day on the treadmill. You know, so we have to be daily and we have to be disciplined about it.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak next to Lynn in Arlington. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks.
I have a comment and a question. My first comment is I've been a professional trainer for 15 years. And to answer one of the previous people, the way that we try to create creativity is having interaction but lots of laughter. The more laughter I find in an environment, the higher the creativity level goes up for my folks. And one of my friends created a resource called Training Cogs, which literally inspires people in the daily workplace how to create a more kinesthetic, how to reach all levels of learning. But my question is, in today's bottom line conscious manager economy, how do you deal with these managers? What are the arguments that you give them for the reason why they need to keep the creativity training at a higher level?
Well, play is one of the habits that we talk about, and there's a misconception first that play is silly or that it's foolish and not value-added. So part of it is how you position it. Another way of maybe defining play is let's experiment, let's be curious, let's ask questions, and then the way in which you construct that activity or exercise is already understood that this is going to add value. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to have fun doing it. Who's not going to like some fun?
Yeah, and we definitely agree. I mean, with your first comment about the laughter, I mean, you can definitely see the energy and the volume and the amount of ideas that goes up when people are having a good time. So it is important, like Andrew said, when you're trying to sell that, it's all about how do you position what you know is important and what you see as results in terms of, you know, this laughter or being more playful to those who are in charge to make the decisions. And if you can convince them that in order for them to come up with new ideas and for their organizations to grow, they need people to be at their best and feeling good about what they do, then and translate into what they're listening for, then you can win them over.
We have an email from Dallas that says, you should talk about those who have lots of ideas, some not practical, and who do not consider implementation, which is the other part of creativity. Not every idea, they're not all created equal.
Well, that's true. Right. Not every spark moment is, well, a moment. But it's important as part of the creative process first to diverge. So crazy ideas help you get to places where you can then later evaluate and converge upon, oh, all right, is this really going to make sense? Does it fit? Is it something that people want? Is it something that we can produce and do? So it's important to be conscious of when we are creating, we are needing to be diverging. But at some point, you also have to converge.
The problem is we tend to converge too quickly. So that's why we spend so much time diverging. But like this email suggests, it's all a matter of, you know, at some point you do need to evaluate.
We have an email from Adam in Fort Worth who says, I recently left the military because I saw firsthand the mid to senior level leadership only allowing one train of thought to exist. What advice do you have for frontline leaders who have different ideas than their superiors in controlling the organization, such as the military? He says, my superiors always said, when you're in charge, you can do things differently, but until then, you'll do it my way.
Yeah, well, we have a little experience with the military on a more personal basis. And certainly there are some instances, like when you're in combat, that you really don't want to have a negotiation or come to consensus on what's the best way to take that hill. For example, there needs to be a leader who's in charge, who knows what they're doing, that has the respect of the people below him or her, and action needs to be taken swiftly. However, there are also times in the military as well that, boy, if you're not listening to the ideas of the people around you, you're probably not coming up with the best solutions. So we would encourage these leaders, just like anybody else, like we're talking about, you know, have time to listen to those ideas. Make time to let people come up with what they think are good experiences, because you know what? You're going to win them over as well as the leader, that you care about what they think and that their experience is important. As adults, we want to make sure that our experiences are acknowledged.
Yeah, can you talk about how people who are creative at work are perceived? So many people are afraid that they're going to shout something out and everyone will think that's a stupid idea. But are people generally rewarded in the long term for being creative consistently?
Well, sure, especially if you produce results. There's nothing like success when they see individuals succeeding with their creative ideas. And again, it usually is not just one individual. It's several individuals. Often the organizations we've worked with, once they see the power of the creative process, they start to reward it. They start to honor it. They start to really make more explicit, hey, we want you to take risk. We want you to share your ideas. So it's so important to reward and reinforce it in any way that you can.
Do you find that most people are pretty confident about their creativity, at least on a personal basis?
No, actually, I think we find just the opposite. You know, unfortunately, I mean, there are people who are certainly very confident. And like you said before, we'll spit out those ideas and say, I'm going to do this. But many people actually have a lot of doubt, self-doubt. So sometimes we just censor ourselves before we even give ourselves a chance. I mean, that's been our experience anyway. And one of the first things that we tell those folks is, you know what? Try not to censor yourself. Try to take the courage, you know, take that risk. But it is difficult, especially if you've been beaten down before or someone said that won't work, you know, those killer phrases. So it's important that we banish the self-doubt.
And some of this has to be about being open to other people's good ideas as well.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the best ways to encourage. Let's say you are the resident creative, but one of the best ways to encourage other people to be creative is when people just offer an idea. Encourage them to be creative.
Janine McGlade and Andrew Peck are co-creators of the business consulting firm Novus. You can find them at novusinc.com. Their new book is called Stimulated, Habits to Spark Your Creative Genius at Work. You can meet them at 6 o'clock tonight at the Barnes & Noble on Beltline in Dallas. Andrew, Janine, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.